your next great vacation might be something you've never even considered. A private yacht in a beautiful location just for you and your closest friends and family. Explore the beaches of the Virgin Islands, the ancient shores of Greece, or the tropical paradise of Tahiti. This is not a cruise. This is a yacht charter vacation with The Moorings. And it's easier than you think. With hundreds of award-winning yachts to choose from, located in over 20 beautiful sailing destinations, the world is in your hands. Whether you're an experienced boater or looking for a more genuine once-in-a-lifetime vacation, The Moorings can make your dream a reality. Call us today and start your journey to your next great escape. Your private yacht awaits at moorings.com.
Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Cenovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at Cenovus.com.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
To another episode of the show. I'm your host, Sensi, and on this podcast, we talk about taking accountability for your life to become the best version of yourself. In this episode, I'm going to compile a list of 9 tips from previous episodes that will help you change your life in the next 6 months. The first is, do not rely on being relatable to other people. I saw a quote in the comments. It said, relatability brings success, but success makes you unrelatable. And that is so true. If you rely too much on relatability, you're going to fear success because you're not going to be afraid of not being relatable to the people in your life today. And some of these people aren't even people that should be around when you get to that successful phase of your life. They are only there for a season. Because the thing is, some people only like you when they can relate to you. They only like you when you have certain things in common, especially struggles, because they see you as their equal. But as soon as you start getting more successful and you start, you know, rising in the ranks, so to speak, it's like that makes other people feel insecure about themselves, and then they respond to you negatively. And that's what a lot of us fear when it comes to relatability. A lot of us fear not being relatable anymore, and we fear having that secret competition and those secret enemies. But that's simply something you're going to have to get used to, I'm realizing, because at the end of the day, there are some people who will hate you no matter what. Like, you cannot let the fear of losing people dictate how you move and prevent you from achieving the abundant life that you want. Like, these people really aren't worth that type of sacrifice when you think about it. Prosperity seems to offend people. Like, if you are aware of Keith Lee, for example, he is like the latest example I've seen. That's why I'm using him. But when Keith Lee was just, you know, on the come up, a lot of people had good things to say. But now it's like he's wearing designer and he's getting interviews and people are just like bashing him for no reason and talking about the fact that he's spending the money that he earned. Like, people are allergic to prosperity, okay? People are allergic to prosperity. You have to just accept that. You have to just accept that there's no way around it. You can work your ass off to get to what you want. You can have sleepless nights, put in blood, sweat, and tears to get to what you want. And that comes with financial abundance. And now that you make more, you spend more, you can afford a certain lifestyle that you want. And just because of that, people will hate you. Just because of that, people will hate you. What are you supposed to do about that? All you can do about that is mind your business. That's it. All you can do about that is mind your business. There are people who will simply not like you just because your lifestyle looks better than theirs. And that's a personal insecurity problem that they have. That's none of your business. You cannot fix that. And it's not your job to try to bring them up with you so they can feel better and you can feel good about how people feel when they see you. That's not your job. That's not your job. Okay? The second thing is stop making self-deprecating jokes. Why are you saying these things about yourself and you are going to be in prayer begging God to change your finances? If it's something that you know you're going to be praying for the opposite at the end of the day or throughout the day because you're struggling, let's not speak these things over our lives. You see what I'm saying? Like, if you struggle to pay bills, you struggle to pay rent, or maybe you are not at a phase of struggling, but you want more abundance in your life, stop making these self-deprecating jokes like, oh, I'm broke or I'm poor. Stop saying these things. Stop speaking these things over your life. Some people like to say, oh, you know, it's not that serious, you know, it's not that deep, you know, you're reading into it too much. Okay, but at the end of the day, when you are on your knees begging and praying to God to change your finances, just remember you spoke this struggle over your life because you thought it was funny. Just remember you thought it was funny. That's my thing. Like, I need y'all to realize that whether you are consciously aware of this or not, the things you speak over your life will eventually manifest. So when you see people posting about their luxurious life and stuff like that, stop making jokes like, this tells me that we are not in the same tax bracket, or this tells me that I'm too poor to watch this video. I understand it's a joke. Again, some people will be like, oh, you're reaching, this is too much. Okay, but before y'all defend this type of humor, I want y'all to think critically about whether or not it's serving you. Because when I was in college and I used to say things like I'm a broke college student, I always struggle to pay for my tuition because I was responsible for paying for my tuition. So I always struggled to pay for little things and like different expenses would come up that I wouldn't anticipate and it would just be hard for me. But when I look back at it, I was constantly saying things like, yeah, I'm a broke college student, you know, broke college life, whatever, whatever. Stop speaking these things over your life. The third thing is own every part of your story and accept your truth. I'm sure there are some things in your life that when you think about it, you are either too traumatized to acknowledge it or accept it or share it even. And there are other things that you're embarrassed about. Like there are parts of my life I look back on and I think, was your brain working? Like what were you thinking? The enemy was working harder than you. He was working harder than you because what were you thinking? Why did you do that? Why did we have to make this a part of our story? Why couldn't this be bypassed? You know, I'm just being honest. There are parts of my life where I'm just like, I look back on some of the decisions I've made and I'm just like, I'm sure my enemies were rejoicing at that period in my life because I just was just making a fool of myself, okay? But I'm sure we all have those moments. I'm sure we all have moments where you can look back and think, like, what was I thinking? Because the you today would never. But, like, you haven't always been the you are today in the past, okay? Back then, you were foolish. I was foolish, okay? We did foolish things. And these things may be hard to accept now that we've learned and we've grown, but it's a part of our story and we have to accept it. We have to own it. There are certain things that if I did not own it in my own life and if I did not already put it out there or if I did not already accept it, if somebody were to try to use that against me, it would probably work. Like they would probably get a reaction out of me that they did not deserve because I was having a hard time with accepting things that happened in my life or things that I did, things that I thought were embarrassing. And again, accepting does not mean you think that it's right it happened or you agree that it should have happened to you. Accepting is just saying it happened, and there's nothing I can do about it other than forgive and move on from my own peace of mind. You cannot say you fully love yourself except for when I did that, or except for when I made this decision, except for that one event that occurred in my life. I don't like that. I love myself except for that moment, except for that part, except for how I look right now. That's not true self-love. Self-love is acceptance. The good, the bad, the ugly, it's accepting it. That is who you are, right? And some parts of those things make you unique. If I did not have these experiences that I had, I would not be the person I am today. Even my sense of humor. I remember when I was like very depressed, when I was at that low point in my life that nobody knew about, I used to be like the class clown. I used to be the one person that was making everybody laugh because I felt like I knew what it was like to feel so hopeless and to feel such despair that if I could brighten up somebody else's day, then that would make me feel better for some reason. Even if it didn't erase everything that I was struggling with, it made me feel better. So now it's like I'm not depressed anymore, but I still have that sense of humor. I still have the ability to make people laugh. I still have the ability to joke around with people and stuff like that. But that was developed in a very dark moment in my life where I just wanted some relief from being overwhelmed and being sad all the time. So it's like, I love my sense of humor, but I can't say I love my sense of humor, but I hate where it came from. I'm just truly grateful to have overcome where it came from. The fourth thing is, don't be a bystander in your own life. Because I want you to stop being a bystander in your own life. And this is more common than we think. How many things are you just sitting back and then willfully watching people on social media live their lives in a way that you want to live your life too, but you refuse to put your foot out there. You refuse to have confidence in yourself. You refuse to take a chance on yourself. Do not allow yourself to be a bystander in your own life, just watching life pass you by and then watching everybody do the things that you really want to do. I want you to make a list of all of the things that you are afraid of doing, all of the areas in your life where you realize that you are acting as a bystander, and I want you to start doing these things. I want you to start doing these things because what you will realize is that you will not die. You will not die. The outcome will likely not be as bad as you think it will be. I consumed so much content of people who are creators who have a YouTube channel. And I used to watch it because, yeah, it was entertaining and it was educational. But part of me would always feel like it must be nice. You know, it must be nice to, like, forget about the earnings and everything. It must be nice to be so brave to put yourself out there, because that was my fear. My fear was putting myself out there. So I allowed myself to stay in the shadows and stay hidden and not put myself out there. So that was another example of how I was a bystander in my own life. And I'm telling you, sometimes when you find yourself as a bystander, we tend to try to cope with that by just consuming other people who are doing the things that we want to do. That's why some of us are so obsessed with influencers and their lifestyles and the vlogs and social media and all of this stuff. I'm not saying everybody is. I'm not saying that's why people use social media. But I'm saying, and I'm being transparent, I was guilty of this too. Sometimes I look at stuff for inspiration, but I remember back then when I was afraid to do the things that I wanted to do, somehow I found it like I used just watching them as a coping mechanism, trying to build up the courage to do it myself, trying to build up the courage to start my YouTube channel myself. And I want you to seriously consider that, because I'm using a YouTube channel, but it could be something else. Sometimes we look at people off social media and in our personal lives, when you look at people who are living a life where they're actually going for the things that they really want to do, despite what it looks like to other people, if you are allowing yourself to be a bystander in that you are pursuing a path that other people want you to do, a path that society convinced you would bring society's version of success, but you're miserable, you don't like that, but you've already invested so much time and energy into it that you decide that is too much for me to let go of. So you keep doing it, and now you find yourself jealous or envious or just having issues with the people around you who seem to be living authentic lives, doing the things that they want to do. It's because there's that rooted, like, I don't want to say envy or jealous. I don't want to demonize it too bad, because I feel like a lot of us need compassion in that area, because everything around you, the media, family, friends, everybody is like projecting onto you. Everybody's projecting their idea of success, their idea of what a happy life looks like, their idea of what this means and what that means. And it takes bravery, it takes courage, it takes boldness and audacity to actually decide to break away from that and start defining what those things mean for you. The fifth thing is look at their fruit. And then recently, somebody that I no longer speak to reached out to me. I didn't have any hard feelings for this person or anything. It was just like, you know, the whole I'm going here, you're going there type of thing. You know, we're not going in the same direction, so let me protect my peace. You know, it was like that. Like, they did not like the idea of me starting a podcast. And as you can see, we are on episode 71. And so there, this person reached out and, like, you know, complimented me on what I was doing and blah, blah, blah. And, like, gave me an update of what they were doing in their life, you know, making a few strides. And I was so proud of them and everything. And I was like, wow, that's great, blah, blah, blah. But then they said something that, they said something, because I almost gave them access to me again, you know, like, let's work on our goals together and stuff like that. And then they said the same procrastination line that they have been saying since when I met them. So what did I just tell you? Look at their fruit, right? Your fruit, your life is a result of your habits and your patterns, right? So the very fact that they were still talking about developing those habits told me that their life still looked the same. Like it told me that even, you know, even though it's been like a whole year, they still talking about what they are going to do. The same thing they said they would do back when me and that person were working on our goals together. Back when this podcast was just an idea, they still, y'all, it's crazy. The things they said they were going to do back then, they said that in the text message. They said, you know what, I'm going to be doing this now and blah, blah, blah. And I'm like, are you serious? Like, it's been so long. I had an idea to start a podcast. I'm on episode 71 now. You had an idea to do this, and you are still talking about how you're going to do it. Like, it's one thing if you say you started and you made like 1% progress. That would have been commendable. But to hear somebody say, oh, I'm going to do this, and then a whole year later, they're still saying I'm going to do it. It's like, not, you haven't changed. Nothing has changed. So the very fact that was the nature of our relationship, holding ourselves accountable for stuff like that, and you are reaching out to me on that premise, but you are still procrastinating, that just showed me that I saw what I needed to see. I heard what I needed to hear. That just showed me that no matter how much I want to help people, no matter how much I want to see people win, I cannot want it more than you. And if you are going to show me that you just keep procrastinating, then I cannot give you access to me when you are still the same person that I left. All I'm saying is, before you let your emotions deceive you, look at their fruit, okay? Look at their life. Does their life look different from when you left it? No, that's because they're probably still the same person, so they're still getting the same results. Do not talk to them, okay? Do not talk to them. Unless you like struggling, okay? And unless you like putting yourself for trials and tribulations. I know we all have our soft spots for certain people. I know sometimes depending on the type of relationship, it could be very difficult. But I want you to just keep in mind why you left. Okay, keep in mind why you left, because if that person hasn't changed, if their life still looks the same, if they've been saying, I'm going to do this, and then a year, 2, 3, 4 years later, they're still saying, oh yeah, I'm going to do this. Sweetheart, don't even.
For some, the sea is not a place. It is a calling, a home away from home. If you find yourself drawn to the water, we can take you there. Imagine you, your friends, and family on a private yacht in the most beautiful places in the world, from the Bahamas or the Virgin Islands to Greece, Italy, Tahiti, and beyond. This is a yacht charter vacation with The Moorings, and it's easier than you think. Inquire today. Your next great vacation begins at moorings.com.
Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Cenovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at Cenovus.com. Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Cenovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at Cenovus.com.
Number 6 is have the courage to be disliked. The true path to freedom is having the courage to be disliked. A lot of us live life with the mindset of being afraid to be judged. We all want to be liked because nobody wants to be disliked, right? But because we are so afraid of judgment and we're so self-conscious and mindful of what other people might be thinking about us, that leads a lot of us to acting in a certain way that we think will please other people, right? The people-pleasing tendencies. So that leads us to be people pleasers, doing things for other people's approval or not doing things for other people's approval. And then basically, because we are so afraid of being judged in a negative way, we live our lives for recognition. Recognition in terms of positive recognition, like you want people to clap for you, you want people to reward you, right? You want people to acknowledge the good things that you do. You want those words of affirmation. And the reason why you're so tied to that need for recognition is because you live your life in a way where you are afraid of being judged by people and you care so much about what other people think about you because you want to be liked. So because you place people's opinions so high on the totem pole, you think that, okay, if I'm going to be judged anyway, I at least want to act in a way to where people think highly of me or people say good things about me. But what he's saying is true freedom is having the courage to be disliked. Because what that means is you do not live your life in a way where everything you do is based on getting positive recognition or positive feedback from other people. And things you don't do or do is because you're afraid of being criticized by other people. Now, if we have to think about this and really break this down, right? A lot of people never achieve their true purpose in life or achieve the ultimate like version of success that they want, or a lot of people are currently on a path towards that, but a lot of the things holding you back are your fear of being perceived by other people, you're afraid to be seen trying, you're afraid to be judged, you're afraid of negative comments, you're afraid of people not approving of the things that you want to do. Things like that is because you lack the courage to be disliked. You want to be liked. You want people to think good things about you. So you let the possibility of them thinking something negative hold you back and cause you to stay stagnant and never really pursue the things that you actually want to pursue. Number 7 is stop pointing out your flaws. Not that I endorse any type of, you know, alcoholism or heavy drinking or anything like that, but if we had to take a shot for every time we were on social media, like TikTok, for example, and you saw a creator who was making a video about something and they immediately start off the video by saying, oh, please ignore how ugly I look right now. Or please ignore my hair right now. Or please ignore this flaw about me. We would all die from alcohol poisoning. We literally, like, our livers would not have a chance, because there are so many people who make content and the first thing they do in the videos is point out the thing that they are most insecure about at that point in time. You have to stop doing that. That affects your confidence. And the thing is, most people never even notice it. Like every single time for me personally, every single time I've seen those videos, when these people say, oh, please ignore, I don't know, the fact that my nails aren't done, I wasn't even looking at your nails. I would have never noticed your nails if you didn't say anything about it. I would have never noticed that your hair wasn't, I don't know, perfectly straightened or curled or anything like that, because I don't know you. This is the first time I'm seeing you. I don't know what you look like normally. I don't know what you look like at your best or your worst, etc. I am just here, you know, consuming whatever content you put out. But the first thing you direct my attention to is the thing you are most insecure about. That affects your confidence. That affects how you show up. Because some people do that in real life too. It's like you show up and it's like, oh my God, guys, please ignore this stain on my outfit, or please ignore my hair right now. I have an appointment tomorrow or next week. Nobody was paying attention to that. Nobody was paying attention to that. Oh, please ignore this pimple that I have. Who hasn't gotten a pimple in their life? We all know how it feels to get a pimple and, you know, you don't like it. It's an awkward place. It stands out. We know it's like, you know, something that makes you slightly insecure or less confident. You don't have to point it out. And here's the thing. I used to be guilty of this. So let me just tell you what I realized. I used to be guilty of this. And I, for me personally, it might not be your case, but for me personally, I realized that I felt like if I pointed out my flaws first, then I would beat everybody else to it and I would feel better about the situation because I would be in control of the narrative. Because it's like, if I point out what I'm insecure about first, then, you know, it just made me feel like I was more in control of the situation. But I was still very much insecure about whatever it was, or that thing still affected my confidence. I just thought that I would be more in control of the narrative and I would beat people to the punch in making a joke about it, and that would make me feel slightly better. But then when I realized like the effect that was having on my confidence, and also another thing that made me realize it was an issue was me seeing it constantly from other creators and other people online. I didn't notice how bad that was or how much of a bad taste it left in your mouth until I constantly saw it over and over when I would see people speak negatively of themselves. And I realized that I was never paying attention to those things. So then I started an experiment, and that's like your homework. That's one of the things I would recommend. I want you to try not pointing out your flaws first, right? Whether it's if you're a type of person, if you are a content creator, you make content online, or if you post a picture, or if you're meeting people in person, whatever the situation may be, I want you to try a little experiment, right? If you, especially if you do this a lot, I want you to try 1 week straight or 30 days, depending on how frequent you do it. But I want you to just try not pointing out the things that you are most insecure about. Because what you will realize is that nobody noticed it. And then when you don't acknowledge it, you don't have that like weight hanging over your shoulder. You don't have that thing in the back of your mind making you feel less confident. When you realize that nobody is paying attention to you that much, or nobody even noticed, you'll forget about it and you will feel more confident. Number 8 is give yourself permission to let people go. You see, I was reading the book of Exodus the other day, particularly the part about Moses where God asked him to speak to the rock to give the people water, and he struck the rock instead, just as he did in the past, and he struck it twice. And because of that, God told him, because you have disobeyed me, I am not going to let you go into the promised land with these people. He said, I will let you see it, but I am not allowing you to go into the promised land with the people. And I'm sitting here reading this, full transparency, okay? I'm sitting here reading this and I'm like, but God, that's not fair. Because in the book of Exodus, it talks about the people being enslaved by the Egyptians in Egypt, by Pharaoh. And then they were suffering so bad. They prayed to God and they asked him to deliver them from the Egyptians, deliver them from the slavery. God called Moses to be their leader and to lead them out of it. And in the process of them leaving Egypt and like from going from Egypt slavery to their promised land, the land of abundance, the land of milk and honey, they defiled and disobeyed God so many times. They turned away from him so many times, despite miracle after miracle, despite him coming through, despite him making a way out of no way. Every time there was the slightest minor inconvenience, they turned their backs on him and they started worshiping other gods and they prayed to go back to Egypt, go back to slavery, because they did not trust God that much. And each time Moses pleaded to God on their behalf to spare those people, like, God, if you don't lead them out, the people, the Egyptians will say that you did not honor your word and you could not get them to the promised land. So on, so forth. Moses pleaded to God on their behalf so many times to save them. And God heard his cry. And he pardoned them and he gave them another chance. And the one time Moses disobeyed, the one time, if there were other times, maybe I missed it, but the one time Moses disobeyed God, the one mistake when God asked him to speak to the rock instead of striking the rock, because he struck it twice, God told him, you're not going into the promised land with them. I will show it to you, but you're not going with them. And I'm like, God, that's not fair. All of the chances you gave the Israelites, these people have defamed you, defiled you, worshiped other gods. All the chances you gave them while Moses was being obedient to you the entire time, of all the chances you gave to them, the one time Moses messes up, suddenly he's disqualified. Suddenly he has to die on the journey. He has to see the promised land that he would have gone to if he was obedient. And then he has to die and he doesn't get to go in because of one mess up. I'm reading it and I'm thinking that. And I'm like, I close my Bible and I'm like, okay, God, that doesn't seem fair to me. Help me understand this, because that just doesn't seem fair. Why is it that he was punished and like completely removed from the promised land because of that one mistake, despite you forgiving the Israelites so many times? And then I saw a sermon that broke it down. And I'm going somewhere with all of this. It's going to play into today's episode. I saw a sermon that broke it down by Jerry Flowers, and he said that the reason why Moses was disqualified for his disobedience that one time is because he was in a position of leadership. He was the one God called to lead these people into the promised land. He was the one that was supposed to set the example. He was the one that was supposed to be obedient. Granted, God was also teaching them obedience and trust in him, but Moses had the responsibility of leading them. And the thing is, if somebody who's leading you is messing up and they're not doing the right things and they're acting in poor integrity and poor character, are you going to follow them? And if they're a representation of God, are you going to think that God is a good God? That's exactly why I was atheist when I was in school, because I felt like the church people I was around painted a poor picture of God, so I turned away from God. And Moses had that responsibility, and because he dishonored that, he was disqualified from going into the promised land. He was the one called to lead them there. And when you are called to a position of leadership, you are held to higher standards than the people you are called to lead. They are looking at you. Yes, they might not be perfect, but they are looking at you regardless. You will still be held to high standards. And in the sermon, Jerry explained that how many times did God say, you know what? Forget these people, so to speak. I am not going to allow them to go into the promised land anymore. They have disobeyed me. They have worshipped other gods. I am not going to lead them into the promised land anymore. That's it. That's the end of the road. And then what did Moses do? He begged for God to change his mind, to give them another chance. And then the pastor said that, think about it this way. Sometimes there are people in our lives that we have to let go of in order to go to the next level, but we keep begging them to change. We keep trying to plead and bargain with them to change because we want them to stay so much. And you don't realize that them staying could lead to them having you disqualified from what you deserve in the long run, because their character was not meant to go there with you. They were not meant, they are not equipped to be able to handle that blessing or to be able to handle you in that successful season of your life, because they only know the traumatic, toxic side of you. And God is saying you have to let them go, and you are begging and pleading and trying to make room for them, trying to bring them along with you. But if you keep doing that, they will end up having you disqualified, just like Moses. Imagine the Israelites were in the wilderness for 40 years. It should have taken, I think, 11 days or something like that? Forgive me, I forgot. But it should have taken a few days. It took 40 years because they were so disobedient. The generation that were initially left Egypt had to die off before they could go. It took 40 years because that generation was so disobedient that it's their grandchildren that ended up going into the promised land. How long is it going to take you to get to where you want to go with you trying to drag the people who are not supposed to go with you? And finally, the ninth piece of advice I have is to mind your business. The idea of creating more content or showing up on social media online more often might not mean anything to you. It might be relatively easy to you, but that was initially hard for me. Our comfort zones are very different. They look very different, okay? Please remember that, because I know people like to look at other people's life and compare apples to oranges, and that is a waste of your time, okay? That is a waste of your time. It is useless to do that because we are not on the same path. We are not here to do the same thing. We do not have the same life experiences. We don't have the same traumas. We don't have the same things that we have to get over. We don't have the same problems, the same strengths, the same weaknesses. We are different. So my comfort zone is going to look very different from yours. When you hear me say it was hard for me to start a podcast, that might not mean anything to you. But there are things that might be hard for you that would be easy for me, but it doesn't matter. I say all that to say, mind your business, okay? It is very important to mind your business. You know what it is you want to do, and you know what aspect of that scares you. You know where you need to get out of your comfort zone. I just need you to focus on that for this episode, okay? Because everything you want is on the other side. So that is all I have to say today, and I will talk to you next Sunday.
Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Synovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at synovus.com.
Ohio, ready for some quick mental health facts? Let's go. Nearly 2 million Ohioans live with a mental health condition. In the U.S., more than 50% of people will be diagnosed with a mental illness in their lifetime. Depression is a leading cause of disability worldwide. So why are some of us still stigmatizing people living with a mental health condition when we know all of this? Let's listen to the facts and beat the stigma. Ohio, challenge what you know about mental health at beatthestigma.org.